And may the words of my mouth and the inspiration of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The weeks are slipping by very quickly. And in terms of our sermon series, we've reached week four of a six-week series. We're looking at the five pillars of the Reformed faith, begun 500 years ago by a Roman Catholic monk called Martin Luther. As he looked at the European church, the Western church, he saw an institution that had wandered from the heart of the gospel, and he urged the church to rediscover some of the core biblical truths, principles, and pillars. Five solas, he called them. Sola Scriptura, that Scripture alone was the highest authority for the Christian. Sola Christus, that Christ alone was the only way to God. Last week, Sola Gratia, that way to God was through grace alone, the only reason why we can be saved, God's love for us. Today we're going to look at Sola Fide, by faith alone, before finishing next week with the solas, Sola Dea Gloria, to the glory of God alone. Now if you're doing your maths and you're thinking, but Craig, that only adds up to five, and you said it was a six-week series, well, the last in the series really looks at how all of these pillars tie together and are as relevant and fresh in the church and in the lives of Christians today. So that makes the six parts. And as I said each week, what I'm doing is really giving us an introduction, an overview, a biblical overview of the sola. And then on a Wednesday evening from 8 to 9 in the rectory, or a Friday morning from 11 to 12, inviting us to go deeper in our faith. And each of those meetings are, in their own right, an opportunity to look. Even if we've missed some, it doesn't exclude us from coming and looking at the particular one during any particular week. So, sola fides, by faith alone. Now, to help us understand this, I want, as I often do, to begin with an illustration. A few weeks ago, my car was in the garage for repairs. Some of the wires that lead to the electric windows and the various other bits and pieces, the central locking, had broken. Through wear and tear, broken. And so I brought my car into the garage and had persuaded them to fix it for free for me. And while they were there, they did a health check on the car. I guess it's good to have it done every so often. And the report showed that my back brakes were down to 10%. So not very much left in the brakes. And I knew that they were a trickier fix than the front brakes that I had done myself not that long ago. Now, in terms of this illustration, at this point, I had a number of choices. I could either be cynical, and I could say that the garage were just looking to make money from me. They got me in the door, and they were just looking to make money. But I knew from the sound of my brakes that they weren't. Or I could have said, Osher, 10%. So there's still plenty of wear left in those brakes. So I don't need to change them till they get down to 1 or 2% or until I hear the metal rubbing on the metal. I could have taken a risk and hoped that all would be okay. I even could have tried to do it myself. But as I tried in the past, I know that that is not just straightforward. Or I could have trusted the garage to do the job. They had the equipment. They had the necessary skills. They had the necessary wherewithal to fix the brakes. And in that moment I realized that it wasn't enough that I knew that the brakes needed fixing. I knew that it's one part of the car that I couldn't take a chance with. Who knows when I would be called into slamming on the brakes. and putting my own life, or indeed my family's life, at risk. And so I left my car in the hands of the garage. I let them do what they needed to do. I trusted them in their report, and the job was done. It's good to be able to stop. And I say that half jokingly, but half seriously. It's not something worth taking a chance on. Now, from this illustration, I want us to see that it's not just knowing there is a problem that is important. Or it's not just knowing how the problem can be fixed is important. There is an active step in between those two things that involves making a choice and handing over so that the fix can be taken. Well, as we come to Sola Fide, by faith alone, we will see, I hope, that this earthly illustration can also be seen in spiritual terms. As Martin Luther underlined, there is an important step amidst all of what we've been learning over these weeks. And the passage he uses to underpin his sola fides, by faith alone, is from Romans 3. So as we learn a little bit more about this, can I encourage us, as always, to turn to the weekly sheet or the Pew Bibles for a few moments to see what Martin Luther is teaching via Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans is one of those great books of the Bible, and its pages cover many, many teachings. In fact, it's often referred to as the Christian Manifesto. If we were to present one book of what the Bible believes, or what Christians believe, the book of Romans would be right up there. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who is writing the book, as he often does, is writing to teach, to encourage, and to inform a group of believers in the city of Rome. And in the opening verses of the book, Paul sets out his stall. He tells us that he is a servant of Christ. He tells us what he's all about, that is, teaching the gospel message. And what that is, that the gospel message is God's story of fulfillment, God's story of love and grace through Jesus, what we've learned so far. And as we travel to our passage, we find that Paul is in full flow. And like with my car that had a problem that needs fixing and needed me to make a choice, Paul underlines that for us in spiritual terms. So we're not talking about an earthly car. We're talking about another vehicle. We're talking about you and I. We're talking about humankind. And as we pick up our passage, Paul communicates in Romans 3, verse 23, underlines the problem. The health check. For all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God. There's the problem summed up in one sentence. All have sinned. Not just him or her, not just them out there, not just some, but all. All. Then thankfully, as we read on two verses later, in Romans 3:25, Paul underlines that there is a fix to the problem. Again, read it with me. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood. The fix. God has presented Jesus to die on the cross, to take our sins upon himself, so that we might know God's forgiveness. And all of this initiated as a grace-filled gift from God. Romans 3, verse 24, notice the words, freely by his grace. So the fix, the problem, and the reason why, grace. Clearly outlined by Paul, don't you agree? Very straightforward, very easy to understand. The problem, sin. The fix, Jesus. The reason why, grace. So where does the sola fide, by faith alone, part come in? Well, that's a brilliant question. Thank you for asking me that question. I do appreciate when you do come back and ask me questions. Well, if we look at Romans 3, verse 22, Again, follow with me. We read these words. This righteousness, that is, this being made right with God, is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And again, in Romans 3, verse 25, we read, to be received by faith. Once more in Romans 3, verse 26, the one who justifies, that's God, those who have faith in Jesus. Did you notice the recurring word in those three verses? The word, of course, is faith. Or as Luther puts it, sola fides, by faith alone. What Luther wanted rediscovered within the church, what Paul is reminding us in these verses, is that while God has done what he has done, he does not force anything upon us. He does not guilt us. He does not entrap us. He does not threaten us. He simply offers a way out. He offers, without small print or effort on our part, a choice for us to make. From knowing about the problem and knowing about the fix. And the choice, the faith, can either be a number of things. Either we can ignore what is on offer, we can ignore what needs fixing, sin. We can close our minds and we can harden our hearts and we can ignore what the Bible says. We can either continue on our own way and hope for the best. We can take a chance. We can take a risk. And that's a choice to make. Or, in a humble act of faith, by faith alone, we can recognize where we are before God, the problem. We are sinners. And simply and easily by faith, the choice, we can come to God. We can ask his forgiveness. We can ask him to be part of our lives. And so receive his righteousness attained on the cross by Jesus. The fix. And we can receive his freely offered and freely given gift, the grace. No guilt, no fuss, no condemnation, no effort on our part, just a heartfelt, faith-filled response from us to God and from God to us. Sola fides, by faith alone, justified, that is, made right before God by faith alone, through Christ alone, by grace alone, trusting in God, in his word, and in the promises that he sets before us. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, my prayer is straightforward, heartfelt, and simple today. That each of us here in this church, and in Virginia, and in the places where this message is preached, would recognize that we are sinners before God. We cannot get away from that, the problem. We would recognize that God has dealt with that problem in Jesus, the fix, through the cross. Why? Because of his great love and grace for us. And so, as we reflect on that, that each of us would make a fresh and a new choice today to give our lives over to God, to recognize we are sinners before him, and to seek his forgiveness and mercy, to be saved, and to know the assurance of God's promises today and for eternity. Lord, help us to make that choice, and not be hard-hearted, not to delay, but to make that choice today, to follow you and to know your peace for always. And I pray this in a precious name, the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.